By Yahweh's Design, a two-seat line Israelite ministry with Pastor Dan. Now here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome everybody to By Yahweh's Design. I am Pastor Dan, your host for this one-hour live radio program coming to you over the Heritage Broadcasting System. We welcome all of our kinsmen around the globe who are listening tonight via computers on the internet, over C-band satellite, FM radio, thanks to our brave rebroadcasters, shortwave, and 4D TV, channel 954. We ask Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, to bless each and every one of you. First and foremost, we wish to dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was later surnamed Israel. For all good things come from him, and we wish to give him all the praise, glory, and honor for allowing us this opportunity to bring his truth to his holy remnant, the lost sheep of the house of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian or covenant peoples of the earth. Hallelujah, Yahweh, all praise Yahweh in Paleo-Hebrew. We are a two-seat line racial covenant identity ministry, and we've been studying this truth for a good number of years now. However, at no time do we claim to be perfect, and therefore we do encourage your participation. Okay, tonight's program on this sixth day of March, year 2001, Tuesday evening. Tonight's program is entitled National Socialism. And our guest that I'll be introducing in a few minutes is Edward Reichmuth from Minnesota, and we'll be discussing that topic, and I think you're going to find it quite enjoyable. Before we bring Edward on, I've got a few other things here to read to you. One, we encourage the support of Heritage Broadcasting. We also encourage the listening audience to pick up The Resistor, the political warfare journal for the Special Forces Underground. The Resistor is edited by Sergeant First Class Stephen Barry, who is retired United States Army Special Forces. You can order The Resistor by writing to P.O. Box 35046, Fayetteville, North Carolina, 28303. Stephen asks for $50 for four editions, which comes to approximately 1 year, or $15 for a sample. Also, with the Feast of Passover coming up, which is April 14th and 15th, if you're in southwestern Michigan area, please contact Pastor Soloway and considering visiting with us and sharing with us. Okay, I got one more here. We came across this deal from a friend. Apparently this ad was in the Free American. We have checked it out, and this is a legitimate deal. Mr. Scott Peterson from Yellville, Arkansas, has a special deal on heirloom vegetable seeds. That means these are non-hybrid, open-pollinated seeds, which are getting more and more harder to find nowadays since our enemy is contaminating all the seeds. And these are 18 pounds of 60 varieties of 30-some different vegetables. And that's 18 pounds of seeds, folks. I talked to Mr. Peterson. If you were to buy these seeds individually, that would be close to $200 worth of seeds. They are selling them for simply the cost of shipping, and that's $30. So 18 pounds of seeds for just $30. I think you should very, very much consider calling them and getting at least one packet of these seeds. And you can call toll-free 888-264-5750. And again, that's 888-264-5750. Okay, has Edward called in yet?
He's on the line, sir.
Okay, good enough. I got a little passage I want to read, and then we'll continue on with our discussion tonight. And out of Jeremiah 31, verses 10 through 14, just real quick. Hear the word of Yahweh, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For Yahweh has redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hands of him who was stronger than he. Therefore they will come and sing in the heights of Zion, and will stream together to the righteousness of Yahweh, for wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more at all. Then the virgin will rejoice and dance, and the young men and the old together, for I will turn their mourning to joy, will comfort them, and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with fatness, and my people will be satisfied with my righteousness, says Yahweh. Just a little word of encouragement there, folks. Yahweh is our Father, our Redeemer, and He will be our Savior. So He is the one we should look to in these days, especially these perilous latter days. Again, our program tonight is called National Socialism. Our guest is Mr. Edward Reichmuth from Minnesota. Welcome to the program, Edward.
Thank you.
How are you doing tonight?
Excuse me?
I say, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. A little bit nervous.
Well, we're pretty low-key, so just relax here. I was telling the folks we will open up the call-in lines later on, but right now they're not on. But anyway, you're a rather young man. We've spoken on the phone a couple of times, and I would like personally for you, if you could, for us, just describe a little bit about what National Socialism is all about, because I know the media pretty much gives us a slanted view of just about everything they talk about, and I'm sure they've done that with National Socialism. So if you would, to start off things a little bit, just give us a little kind of rundown of what it's all about.
Well, basically, National Socialism and the National Socialist movement is nothing, of course, like we're portrayed in the media. You know, we're not the Hollywood Nazis, and we don't run around and, you know, beat people up and stuff like that. Basically, what we are is we're a political organization, and it's not just us. I mean, there's others out there. We're growing in numbers all the time. And basically, we're looking out for, you know, the self-determination of the white race, you know, separation of the races, and basically taking care of our own people, which at this point, you know, the government, if you want to even call it that, that we live under now, has neglected to do so. And in this day and age, more and more people are waking up every day and realizing that the best thing to be, but unfortunately the hardest thing to be in this country especially, is a white heterosexual male or female, because basically we are the underdog anymore in our own country. And of course, National Socialism, the National Socialist movement, we're fighting against that to gain our country back from the enemy, from the Jews, the mud people that are constantly flowing into this country, taking our jobs, and just making it just one big mess. And like I said, it's a political organization. It's not, you know, I mean, our goal obviously is to have a National Socialist government in this country within our lifetime, not just, you know, people parading around and saluting and stuff like that. I mean, we have legitimate goals. We would like to see our people in government and obviously eventually just take control of the country and take it back for the white people. And, you know, the only people who would be considered citizens in this country would be the white people. This is our country, and we want it back.
So, in other words, you'd want to set the clock back to the way it was in the beginning.
Exactly. Exactly.
And unfortunately, a lot of, especially young people today, don't even understand that, because they're not taught real history, which is very unfortunate, because if they did know real history, they would know that's exactly how our country started out. And if people don't like that or offend them, that's just too darn bad.
Yep.
Now, I was going to ask, now, in your opinion, now, you're a fairly young gentleman, aren't you? I believe you're, what, 30, 31?
31.
31, okay. In my category, then, you're a young pup. Hey, what would you say, then, is the average age of the folks that are involved with the National Socialist Movement?
The average age, That would be really, really hard to come up with. I mean, we've got people ranging anywhere from you know, 17, 18 years old, and we've got veterans in the movement that were around from the George Lincoln Rockwell days that are, you know, well in their 40s, 50s, 60s. And we've even got some older gentlemen that were actually involved with the German-American Bund that are active, still active to this day within the National Socialist Movement. As far as the average, I wouldn't even really be able to guess. I mean, the ones that I have been around for the most part are in their probably mid to late 20s, early 30s, somewhere around in there. We are getting a big influx of like the younger generations, which is a big plus because they're obviously going to be tomorrow's leaders, and these are the ones that we're looking to mold and you know, get in the right frame of mind, because there's so many out there that they're angry. They're angry at the way they're treated, at what's going on in this country, and they need a direction. Where to go, how to deal with this anger, and not just, you know, not just lash out in an illegal manner, but to take this rage and this anger and build it into something positive. And, you know, we want them to know that they're not the only ones out there that feel this way. You know, there's older people, younger people, everybody is slowly waking up to what's really going on in this country. And, like I said, you know, the older generation, you know, for some reason I consider myself part of the older generation. I'm a 31-year-old skinhead, and for a lot of people that's hard to fathom. They think that's just a, you know, a young kid thing and you grow out of it eventually. But, you know, I consider it part of my duty and the older people or whatever to, kind of like a big brother program, take these people under our wings and teach them, you know. Give them the knowledge. Knowledge is power, and they need this knowledge, and they need to know that, you know, there's other people in this country that in the world that feel this way, and there are positive directions to go with that anger, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely, well put. Now, as I'm listening to you talk, I've heard the exact same things spoken of about the black race by Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, in all honesty, I get a lot of flack, but, I can almost respect Louis Farrakhan and his beliefs or whatever, because he's basically fighting for the same thing that we are. You know, they want separation, which the only way that we're going to gain any kind of power or control back is complete separation of the races. Farrakhan knows that. We know that. The average intelligent white person knows that. Any time that you take one race and mix it with another, it just all hell breaks loose. You cannot live homogeneously or without total racial never mind. I'm kind of losing my train of thought there, but without racial separation, it's just going to be mass chaos. It's been proven since the time we took over this country. We allowed some Indians to stick around. They rose up a couple times. We put them back in their place. They now own large casinos due to, you know, the evil white man. And then we, you know, they brought the blacks over here. Rather than letting them go after the whole slavery incident, you know, they intermingled and lived, you know, they lived among us, and now they're rising up. All hell's breaking loose. The Mexicans pour across the borders. We're losing our country, and there needs to be separation. There's no way that we can live peacefully with all these different races.
Well, if you, for the listening audience, if they take a good unabridged dictionary and look up the root for the word nation, it goes back to the old words in Latin, etc., and Greek that refer to race. You cannot be a nation of different races. That's an oxymoron, because nation is race, and one nation under God is one race, and that was the European American peoples. And again, if people are offended with that, that's too bad. That's the facts. That's the way it really happened, and it's our nation. And the enemy knows that. The enemy knows that divide and conquer is the way to weaken us for conquering. and they have done everything they can to weaken us and to bring all these other races amongst us. They knew it would cause all these problems. They're not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing exactly like you said, Edward. It's causing derision and doing a lot of havoc. Now, the thing I noticed that you said about the National Socialist Movement is predominantly activists. And we constantly tell people that our Heavenly Father wants people to be activists, not pew-setters or just sitting around hoping he'll take care of things. So I think that's excellent that you're actively involved in politics and recruiting and trying to educate. These are commendable things. One question I had for you, you mentioned that you're trying to reach out, and you mentioned the fact that there's National Socialist people in other countries. Do you have much contact with people outside, let's say, Minnesota? I mean, are you pretty much in contact with even other countries?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have units and contacts all over the United States. We have them in foreign countries. We have contacts in Germany, South Africa, Sweden, Denmark, all over the world. In any white European, whatever you want to call it, we have contacts all over the world with people who are either sympathetic or actually a lot of them have their own movements going on in these countries as well. It's not just an American thing, and that's what it's going to take. It's going to take one big uprising, and it's going to have to be all at one time. So you know, we have a complete network all over the world. It's not just you know, a small Minnesota based group, and the NSM numerous times has made the different newspapers and stuff, and they try to portray it as it's this little tiny group, you know, and it's just a bunch of guys in this one city or this other city over here in a different state, and you know, we're tiny, and it's nothing like that at all. I mean, this is a worldwide movement. And we're getting more and more people that are getting into this and who may not even be nationals or actual members of the National Socialist Movement, but you know, it's also a unity thing. I mean, we work with other groups as well, you know, and it's growing. And hopefully the enemy's scared because they have good reason to be. You know, this isn't playtime anymore, and this isn't romper room, and we're going to take it back, plain and simple. I mean, my personal belief is, I believe that what we're doing is right, and I believe that it's just, and I believe that it's Yahweh's will, and with Him on our side, I mean, we can't lose.
Amen to that, Edward, amen to that. You sound so much like Sergeant First Class Stephen Barry of the Resistor. It's amazing. Now, I want to get to the next point here, which I found fascinating when you and I were chatting, and that is the fact that you do know your identity, and I would assume others do, which I think is fantastic. And so let's get into a little bit of, how you came to know your identity, etc., and then what are the similarities of what National Socialist Movement is trying to obtain and what the truth of the racial covenant identity message are. How those two are kind of married together.
Okay. Well, as far as racial identity, I just got into that like wholeheartedly about 2 years ago. Before that, I had been to like different kinds of churches. I went through the Baptist thing and the Pentecostal thing and all that. But I noticed that what they were teaching me, it wasn't clicking. It wasn't making sense. I have always had really strong racial views. And of course, if you go by the whole liberal, you know, Jesus loves everybody regardless, blah, 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 all that happy hippie, free love kind of sounding stuff, it didn't fit and it didn't make any sense to me. And about 2 years ago, I started getting online and meeting different people and talking to different people. And I started looking up different websites and doing more and more research on my own. And then ordering things through like Kingdom Identity Ministries and stuff like that and delving deeper and deeper into it. And it's just like this big giant light came on, you know, this is it. This is what I've been missing. This is what I felt was missing from religion this whole time, you know. And it just clicked, and it clicked right off the bat with the simple fact that, you know, it's not all about love. It's not all about, you know, this peace and love and harmony. I mean, if you read the book, if you read the Bible, there's war in there, there's famine in there, there's, you know, the true Israelites, us, not the Jews, you know, they were punished numerous times for doing exactly what's going on in this country today. And that's why this country is falling apart, because we allow it to go on. You know, whenever there was sexual immorality, there was all kinds of consequences for that. Whenever there was race mixing, there was consequences for that. Whenever, you know, whenever a few people were allowed to do this, Yahweh became upset, and the many were punished for the sins of the few. And that's exactly what's going on today, because we allow this type of immorality to go on, because we allow this perversion and this race mixing and everything else to go on within our country. That's why this country is in total turmoil. And of course, the Jews feed on this by pumping it into the media, through music, through magazine articles, through movies, where all the, you know, look at the black man is really nice, and it's okay to let him date your daughter because they're actually great people. It's wonderful. And it brainwashes people. It poisons the minds of today's youth. The music, same thing. You know, I personally, think that it's horrible to see these beautiful white kids running around today, dressing like the blacks, taking on the styles and characteristics of blacks, and they've lost their identity. And it's sad, and this is why our country is in such sad shape, because basically at this time we're cursing ourselves, we're allowing this to continue. And again, National Socialism is totally against all of that. That's where, to me, it fits. I mean, we want a country that's separated, as Yahweh intended to begin with. He wanted the races to be separate. That's what National Socialism wants. National Socialism is looking out for the white people, period. In the Bible, it talks about that you're not to allow foreigners to live among you, you're not to allow foreigners to intermarry, you're not to allow foreigners to rule over you, to trade with foreigners. Same thing. National Socialism, it fits the same exact way, because that's exactly what we're looking for. We don't want intermarriage. We don't want them living here. We don't want them living among us. We don't want them ruling over us anymore in government, any kind of power position whatsoever. We want to remain completely separate as Aryan people, as Yahweh intended.
Very good. Very well put. My question, I just happened to be thinking of it now, it's National Socialism then is kind of the equivalent of the political area where racial covenant identity teaches the scriptural spiritual aspect, is the way it sounds to me. If National Socialism should take over, we'll use that term, take over, okay? If you're successful, let's put it that way. What would be the law of the land as you see it? What would be the law of the land under the National Socialist Movement's banner?
As far as in general, or like our goals kind of thing?
Well, you know, today we got these people yammering about the Constitution, and they forget who gave us our rights, and that was our Heavenly Father. My question would be, as a person who worships Yahweh and know that His law is the only law, would National Socialism also agree that His law is our only law?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got to go to break, Edward, so take a breather there for a second, and we'll be right back in a few minutes.
Welcome back to you by Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. Now here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome back, everybody. Again, this is the 6th day of March, year 2001, Tuesday evening. Our program tonight is entitled National Socialism. Our guest is Edward Reichmuth from Minnesota. And before we continue with our conversation, I got just a couple things I want to say here. First of all, We want to say thank you to Ed and Eileen in Florida, Jimmy O down there in Louisiana, and Mark and his family in Arkansas. We received your envelopes, and we thank you very much for your help and support and encouragement. Also, we offer up a prayer to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, for the little girl, Ali, of Leanne. Willie Martin's sent this to us. Little Ali is 4 years old, and she has a brain cancer. And we just ask our Heavenly Father to look to her and possibly give her healing and give strength to that family. And we ask this in the name of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. Edward, now I don't know if you got to finish all you wanted to say about that, but did you understand the question I was asking as far as the law?
Another thing that the National Socialist Movement is, to me, it's the political furtherance of basically racial identity and Yahweh's law. I mean, to me, it goes hand in hand. I mean, a lot of the things that we're fighting against and that would be implemented once we, I mean, for one thing, the simple thing of usury, the monopolizing of, these different, like the power supplies and stuff like that, which the Jews all have control of at this point, that it would not be anymore. You know, we would get rid of that, the welfare system, all that kind of stuff. It's, to me, totally against the laws of Yahweh, and it's against the laws of our people, and we're suffering under these conditions at this point, and obviously we would want to abolish that.
Uh-huh. Well, I like what I'm hearing so far. Again, I don't know a tremendously large amount about the National Socialism, but the things that I have heard in the past and what you're telling me now certainly does lend itself to the idea that the two of them are after mutual goals here. Certainly what's taught in the racial covenant identity message of the scripture certainly supports the activities and goals of the National Socialist Movement, if they're aware of that. And then my next question was, you're obviously aware, and I don't know really how many in the NSM are aware of their racial identity, but can, in your opinion, can others be taught this message?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I personally, I'm obviously proving at this point I'm not exactly a biblical scholar or anything like that. I'm a little bit nervous doing this interview or whatever. But normally, when I sit down and talk one on one with somebody or whatever, I'm actually a little bit better spoken than I am tonight. But especially a lot of the younger people within the movement or whatever are totally open to these concepts, and they pick up on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is looking for something to believe in, you know. If you've got the racial beliefs already, you've got the political beliefs already, then obviously the next thing to follow would be the religious beliefs. And there are a lot of people within the movement who differ on their religious beliefs. Some organizations are completely non-religious or even to the point of being anti-religious. The NSM itself is an open religious political movement in the sense that we do have other religious beliefs within as far as with the members or whatever, and we don't openly support one religion over another, because as far as policy dictates, religion belongs in the home and in the heart. And, you know, during like a political meeting or whatever, religion is not brought up. After that political meeting breaks up, a lot of us get together and go off on our own, and that's when the racial identity comes out, and that's when we start talking about religion and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, if the message we teach is true, time will vindicate us, and the truth does not need to be propped up with the force of government, and truth will stand up to the investigative work of other people. So if we stand by our truth, because we know this is true, I believe the inevitable will happen, and that is the vast majority of people in the movement would certainly come to realize that what we're teaching is true and perfectly matches up with what their goals are.
Exactly.
In your opinion, what are some of the ways that we should be trying to reach our youth out there today?
Well, I think one would be obviously a lot of people just don't understand the youth of today and what they're going through and what they have to live through. I mean, I think kind of if we can put ourselves a little bit more, not necessarily bring ourselves down to that maybe age level or whatever, but you know, a lot of people, they look at how children and the younger people are reacting and whatever, and they don't even try to comprehend. They're just, oh, they're lost. But they're not lost, they're just confused. I mean, they're Generation X. They're taught in schools, they're brainwashed. The music is just totally whacking these kids' minds out. We just need a little bit of patience and, you know, you need to feed them slowly. You can't just bombard them with facts and expect them to just jump up and, you know, turn around and you know, and within a couple of minutes. You have to feed them slowly. You know, it's just like a baby, obviously. You don't start out with feeding them steak and potatoes. You got to start them with milk and then, you know, a little bit of soft food. And then when they're ready for it, you give them the steak and potatoes. And that, you know, right now you've got people that are trying to force feed and, you know, the younger generation. And they're not going to buy that because they're their own people and or so they think and they know everything. And they don't want it brought to them in that manner. You know, you have to reach them on their level and with what they're comfortable with. And I think that, I mean, they have to, they see what's going on. And the problem is these kids are just so full of anger that they're having a hard time listening to anybody. But if you can obviously, if you can point to them the obvious thing, you know, the obvious, all they have to do is look around and they can see that what you're saying is right. You know, and if you can back it up biblically, there you go with that as well. You know, the truth is always going to come out. But you have to present it to these kids in a manner that they're going to be able to understand and respect and not just, you know, shun you because you're taking on a holier than thou attitude. And because I know when I was young, I didn't want to listen to anybody. You know, I knew everything, and I certainly didn't want people preaching to me or whatever. But the more I saw what was going on, and the more people were patient with me, and telling me these things and showing me that this is reality. What I'm giving you is the truth. The more I respected it, and the more I grew to understand that what these people were saying was true. You know, and this is as far as the movement goes, and as far as Yahweh's laws goes as well. You know, it's all plain and simple, and it just takes a little bit of time and patience to reach these young kids.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the fact that the enemy is trying to divide us, obviously, by bringing in all these races and claiming that we're all equal when you turn the lights out and all this other nonsense that they spew out on us 24 hours a day. But they're also trying to separate the men from the women and get the men and women after each other's throats. And they've been pretty successful at that. And it would be wonderful if the NSM and would embrace our teachings to the fact that, you know, that if we get everything back the way Yahweh wants it to be, it'll be better for everybody involved. And the most downtrodden group in America, the truly downtrodden minority in America today is the white heterosexual male, mm-hmm. especially the white heterosexual Christian male. Nobody else is being persecuted today like that particular group. It reminded me, as you were talking, Edward, about the passage that says, be all things to all men. And that sort of goes along with what you're saying. You've got to be able to put yourself in the other guy's shoes, and like you said, we must remember that we didn't come to this knowledge, most of us in my age group, we didn't come to it overnight, and many of us were rebellious to it when it was first presented to us, and patience and understanding is what won us over, and we have to remember to keep that attitude when we deal with anybody, actually, but particularly the youngsters. Have you noticed when you do get somebody this information and this truth and their eyes light up, it's a pretty wonderful feeling, isn't it? When you
yes,
give somebody their identity and all of a sudden now things start making sense?
It is, and it's I don't know. I guess if I were a woman, it would be basically on the same line as giving birth. You know, it's just like a miracle, and suddenly this person's eyes are opened up, and then of course you have to continue. I mean, once they have this knowledge, you have to continue feeding it. You know, and you have to nourish, and you have to basically, as I said earlier, you keep seeing all these commercials on TV for a Big Brother program and you know, stuff like this. And that's exactly what the youth needs, but they need the right kind of Big Brother. They don't need a black Big Brother or a gay Big Brother. What they need is a, you know, racially aware and political minded, Big Brother that's gonna teach them the right way. Not, you know, all this liberal hippie crap that they keep trying to push off from the media or whatever, you know.
All right. Edward, we have a caller. We have Martin from Missouri. Martin, welcome to the program.
Hello, Pastor Dan. I've been on your show before. I'm Martin Winstead. He ran for United States Senator as a Reform Party candidate last year.
Oh, I remember you. How you doing, Martin?
Oh, I'm doing well enough. The reason I called in is that I, you know, have another, you know, white nationalist who seems to be somewhat aware of the political movement up there. He's from Michigan. And, I first wanted to comment that I was talking a couple years ago to another nationalist in Missouri, and he just said that there's quite a few young people, and he thought it was just mainly as an expression of rebellion against their Whigger suburbia parents here, you know, to shock them or something like that. And I says, well, in many cases it does indeed start out like that, but the New World Order is pretty well just going against young white, you know, men and trying to have them not be able to start a family. And in defense of our, you know, what started out as rebellion is going to end up, you know, they're going to go ahead and grow into it here. And perhaps this young man has already done that.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. A lot of the skinheads out there or whatever, they start out and it's just it's a symbol of rebellion and stuff like that, and they don't necessarily have the political or religious beliefs. They just hate. They hate everything. They hate everyone. And these are the ones that we have to, you know, take under our wings or whatever. And eventually they grow into it. They realize that, you know, what's going on is wrong. And rather than just lashing out in a non-intelligent manner, they wise up, they become political oriented, they become great activists. I mean, a lot of these guys I've seen grow over the years or whatever, and they're some of the best people that we have at this point. You know, they start out just young rebellious hoodlums, and you take them under your wing, and like I said, they're tomorrow's leaders. These are the guys that we need.
Yes. And it's also a process known as maturity. I mean, they begin to realize is that there's no future for them unless they make one here. So that is why, you know, that is why pretty well, you know, the young are going to become more and more and more, you know, nationalist in politics because they don't have any other choice. The question I wanted to ask is that in many cases, what you had is a number of these minor little third-rate pretend parties like Buchanan, and, you know, he pretty well insulted his core constituency by his choice of running primate, and pretty well I estimate they lost at least three-quarters of, you know, he had about 3.5% going in, you know, Long Beach, and when he got after Long Beach, why, he didn't even have 1%, you know, coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And he pretty well slapped the face of his core constituency. But what you have is you have a number of these minor parties that lost big time in the election. I mean, they didn't even show up at 1%. And I was wondering if, you know, generally I think in many cases these minor political parties can be used at the county and local levels to go ahead and build up bases of political power. I was wondering if your guest was thinking whether it's better to go ahead and work with a framework that's already there with sympathizers, or whether it's better to go ahead and start a new political organization.
My personal belief on that would be, different people within in the different national socialist groups have, you know, put their backing and everything behind some of these smaller parties or whatever in the past, and in, you know, nothing ever pans out. What we're planning on doing here in the future, and in fact here in Minnesota, we're thinking of through headquarters or whatever, just starting running as just open national socialists. And obviously, right off the bat, we're probably not going to gain a whole lot of respect, maybe not a whole lot of votes or whatever, but we are going to break into the political scene, as national socialists, no longer, you know, supporting someone who's kind of close to what we believe in, but not 100%. And that's the route that we're planning on taking here in the future.
Do you think you do better with the term national socialist as opposed to simply nationalist, you know, Christian nationalist or something like that? I mean, the term national socialist does carry with it an amount of baggage here. And I was wondering if the term socialist could be dropped. Now, you of course are from Minnesota, where socialist isn't such a bad, fighting word, but, you know, further down south, anything with the term socialist has a bad connotation.
Oh, yeah, I get asked numerous times, oh, so you're a communist then? And I'm like, no, I'm the exact opposite of a communist. But that would have to be a decision that would be made, of course, from the commander himself as to which way. I see exactly, you know, where you're coming from or whatever, as far as the phrasing or the terminology or whatever, and that would have to be something that he himself would come up with. I would, in all honesty, I would like to see just an open National Socialist ticket. And like I said, I know that I agree with you 100% as far as National Socialism, carrying with it some baggage from the past or whatever, and also the fact that, on almost a daily basis I'm bombarded with people saying, oh, socialist, so you're a communist. And again, that's where the education would come in, we do have some really good speakers and stuff like that, and if we could, you know, actually get out on the circuit and actually get others to know what National Socialism truly is, not what it's portrayed as in the media. We're not communists, we're not a bunch of street thugs that, you know, we're run around beating people up and stuff like that, but we do want to change the government, and you know, that's the only route that we're going to be able to go. Again, though, as far as the name and terminology or whatever, that would have to be made by the command.
The one thing you're going to have to get over, gentlemen, no matter what you call any political movement that's going to try to make a real difference in this country, you're going to have to get around the blockade of the media by our enemies. And I believe anybody who wants to make a serious attempt at significant change must take advantage of all the alternative media that's out there. Get everybody in your organization to shut off the JewTube and the Jew media and take advantage of all these alternative medias, an example of which is one you're on tonight. We need to get the message out there. If they can't hear what you're all about, they'll believe the Jewish lies, and that's what you have to fight.
Exactly. Exactly, and that's why too, within this year, I'm planning, if at all possible, on going on the road or whatever and speaking to different groups and organizations and getting the message out that way as well. To me, the only way that we're ever going to break through all of this, the people already have the misconception of what we are already, and what I want to do is I want to smash that by actually being able to talk to these people and show them what we're all about. You know, this isn't what you hear on the news. This isn't what you saw in the movie American History X. This isn't, you know, a bunch of street thugs. This is a real, legitimate political movement. And, we need to get out there in the public eye and talk to them. Not through, you know, the news and stuff like that. Because every time we say anything, as far as in the Jews papers or on a TV interview, they mangle everything that we say and they switch it around and it makes us look bad. And that's why the only way we're going to do it is by exactly the way you're doing it right here, and by face-to-face contact, actually speaking in front of people to where nobody can twist the words that you say besides yourself. You know, if you don't know what you're talking about, then obviously that's not going to be helpful. But if you can get some knowledgeable people to get up in front of large groups of people and speak properly, I think we can open the eyes of a lot of people that way.
Well, thank you. I'd like to thank Pastor Dan for, you know, being part of this alternate media. And I've noticed that increasingly I think that there is a backlash to where if you look like you're relatively sane, in many cases they don't even want to publish your name or your World Wide Web page because they're scared, you know, that you will seem sane, you know, to our white, you know, brothers, you know, our white Christian brothers.
Exactly.
Last question I wanted to ask is, do you have an overall leader in Minnesota? And in many cases, there's quite a bit of fighting by National Socialist leaders. I'll need to know, name who they are, but in many cases, that is somewhat of a problem. And thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you, Mark. We have a commander of the National Socialist Movement named Jeff Scoop is our commander. And there are different other smaller National Socialist groups out there that fight amongst each other. And again, I'm not going to mention names either, but it's like a constant tug of war or whatever. But basically what the commander is trying to do is to unite these different groups and unify so that we can all work as one, because obviously one group fighting for the cause is a lot better than five or six different groups that are constantly at each other's throats and name calling. And, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on with some of the smaller organizations.
Right.
And, you know, that's, but the only way we're going to win is by obviously getting out there and, getting the message out and working as one. And that's exactly what the National Socialist Movement is all about, and that's what we're attempting to do through unity and working with other groups. And instead of playing the ego trip and, you know, I want to be the Führer, and if I can't be the Führer, then I don't want to be in your group, and, you know, just silly things like that. And,
I think we should all unite under the banner of Yahweh, and then we will have victory. Edward, before we run out of time, we got about 3 minutes. Would you mind giving out some form of either an address, phone number, email, whatever, where folks who are interested in learning more about what you're doing and possibly even helping out could get a hold of you?
Okay, our website for the NSM is www.nsm88.com, and, if I could just find the address. Hold on just a second, and I'm going to get the address real quick for the National Headquarters P.O. Box. Oh, I was not prepared. I had it sitting right here, and now all of a sudden I can't locate it.
Okay,
here we go. Okay, the NSM National Headquarters P.O. Box is P.O. Box 580-669, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and 55458.
What's that zip again?
55458.
Okay, and that box number is 580-669?
Yes, sir.
Minneapolis, Minnesota. Okay, and the website is nsm88.com.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we're gonna run out of time here in a few minutes, Edward. Before we do that, I really do appreciate your coming on here, because I believe education is the only way you can defeat ignorance. And many people, including myself, were pretty much ignorant of what the National Socialist Movement's all about. And no matter what our different groups of our people, our Jacob Israel people call themselves, we gotta get over this brainwashing by our enemies that we attribute a mental feeling or a mental image when we hear a word. Yeah, that's brainwashing.
Exactly.
No matter what we call ourselves, no matter how we dress, we're still kinfolk, and we must start acting like family. And again, I believe we need to rally under the banner of Yahweh and his teachings, and when we start living his rules and laws, we will naturally gel as a family and be very, very successful. But we got to keep that in mind.
Exactly. Can I really quick get our hotline on there as well?
Certainly.
Okay, it's 651-659-6307.
One more time.
651-659-6307.
Okay.
And that's for our national hotline.
All righty. Well, we've got about 1 minute left. I'll give it to you, sir.
Well, I just want to thank you for this opportunity and for bearing with me in my severe nervousness. This is my first radio interview, and I was really nervous.
Well, I think you did fine, Edward, and we're out of time, so I want to wish you the very best, and maybe we'll do it again sometime. So you take care, and Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. Thank you.
Alrighty, folks, thank you for tuning in. Tune in tomorrow night at 7 with By Yahweh's Design. Take care, hallelujah. Hang on to Yahweh and keep your powder dry.